We can start with you, Dorothy.
I'm Dorothy Weston Yaki from Sauce City.
I'm Barbara Walker. I'm chairman of the commission board from Lincoln.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
Bill Arrest from Lincoln.
Pearl Van Zandt, director of the commission, Lincoln.
Karen Mosier, I'm transition coordinator at Lincoln.
Carlos Evan, deputy director for VR, Lincoln.
Jan Ludwig, the commission in Lincoln.
Avis Weiss, Dogalong.
Welcome.
And Denise Johnston Rodriguez, commission.
Okay, we have several things to deal with. Now, this time, I hope that everyone was able to get the minutes of the February 24th meeting. Are there any corrections, additions, comments on the minutes?
I'd move their approval.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the minutes of February 24th be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and I made a mistake here at the right at the very beginning. I think that we should note that Maya Sams is not able to be here today. Her father has been having a lot of problems, and she was in fact out of her office for quite a while and was unable to come. I think it's worthy of note that in the amount of time that we've been a commission board, this is the first time that there has been an absence, and I appreciate that on everybody's part, and I know that we all will send our thoughts and concern to Maya and her family. Okay, the first item on the agenda.
And her dad did die.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's, boy, I knew it was close. I just didn't know if it had actually happened. Okay, the first item on the agenda is the transition program overview. And Carlos Servan and Karen Mosier are going to bring us that focus report.
Sure, I'm going to start by giving an introduction, and Karen will give most of the details, and we both will answer questions in case there is any unclear information according to how much time we have. First of all, the transition program has been in existence in Nebraska for a good while with different programs. One of the reasons why we believe transition is important is because the earlier you can provide rehab services to blind individuals, the better it is to talk to them about the adjustment process, and the better it is for them to learn the skills as well. As you will know, when blind people are going to a school, many times teachers, parents, and society in general underestimate the capability of the blind. Blind people many times are segregated, not giving the same expectations than other students. When they are in high school, if you take a look at sighted kids, most of them have summer jobs, or they have some summer activities, and the blind didn't have that. Therefore, when they came back for the regular school year, their self-esteem was even lower, and their expectations also were lower, because everybody was talking about earning money during the summer, but blind people not. And that made blind people, of course, feel bad. Upon graduation, you wonder as a blind person if you're worth it, and then you go to college, and you never got a paycheck before. You finish college, and you keep wondering if you're worth it, because you never work. That's one of the main reasons why the agency believes in a transition program. Last year, we identified a fund source from the federal government. Bob Deaton, who has a wonderful skill on writing, he put together a grant, and we gave some input. And we were awarded the grant. Most of you might remember Dr. Schroeder came and gave a presentation and a talk during the NFB State Convention. And since that, we are using the money in the ways we say we will use it according to the grant. At this point, I will ask Karen to give more details on what we have been doing since then.
Okay. Thanks, Carlos. We are 8 months into the grant, the first year of the grant, and the grant amount for a yearly basis was $275,000. All four counselors are now hired. Myself, I took the position the very, very end of September, so the 1st of October, the grant started to take care of my salary. Denise very happily took the position in the North Platte District. She has been in place since October. Shirley Peterson was hired for the Lincoln office and began training in January and just recently got out of orientation center training, has been in the field approximately 3 weeks. And the last person, the Omaha counselor, was hired 2 weeks ago, will begin training on the 11th of June. And so when he gets out sometime in September, we will be fully staffed for the first time. And I personally am really, really looking forward to that. And I think that that'll really be great. Just to give you an idea of the range of skill and time and capabilities, I've worked in the field of blindness for 21 years. Denise has worked in the field of blindness specifically with the agency and the commission for 20 years. Shirley Peterson from Lincoln has 16 years experience with special needs and high-risk individuals, working with employers and with school districts. And James Juarez, the Omaha counselor, has a background in psychology and vocational rehabilitation, also with a number of years specifically toward placement and working with young people. Basically, what our focus is number one, placement and employment opportunities for the young people that we work with, but also 1A, they are literally two primary responsibilities, is developing a relationship with the school districts with whom we work also. It does no one any good, and certainly not our kids any good, for us to not be coordinating with the school districts and the school districts to not feel like we are an active and positive resource. So we are committed to developing those relationships, to working very, very hard at developing the understanding for the school districts that we are a viable source of information, not only when a student graduates from high school, but when a student is very, very young. We have some programs that I'll talk about in just a minute that do deal with younger kids, and we believe firmly through experience and through philosophy that the younger we can get to the kids and to their families, the better off everybody will be. So that's a primary focus for us. In order to promote the transition program and to provide information and to reinforce the idea of the commission being a resource, we have begun to publish a newsletter, and that the second edition has just gone out in the last week or so. That newsletter is geared toward education professionals across the state of Nebraska, parents, anyone who is interested. We have a mailing list of 125, I believe, and we're always looking for people to add to that, because the more people who get the information, the better off we are. Each of the newsletters focus on a different general topic, and this last one, at the request of several teachers with whom we have visited, was primarily geared toward explaining the special programs that are available, how to contact individuals, how to get the kids involved in those programs. We have a transition team that has been in place for about 13, 14 years, I believe. And the transition team has gone through a bit of a metamorphosis in the last year, year and a half. We have really focused on what it is that we intend to accomplish. The transition team is a cooperative agreement and collaborative effort among the commission, Department of Education, Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired, the Omaha Public School District, Lincoln Public School Districts, and we refined and revised the membership list to include a VI teacher that is more or less at large, and we have extended an invitation, and it has been accepted for the AER president to be sitting on that committee as well, on the team. We also are including two parents, one from the eastern part of the state, one from the western part of the state, and two consumers. We have some stipends available to take care of travel costs and that kind of thing, because that has been an issue for a lot of folks in the past. Those of us who are paid to go to meetings, we can figure that out, but when you're taking a day away from work and that kind of thing, that's a really helpful thing to be able to offer, and that's being offered through Department of Education. Jack Shepherd, who works with Department of Education Vocational Rehabilitation, has been really instrumental in working with me and working with the team and getting that really off the ground and on its way. I've done a number of presentations around the state, the NFB State Convention. I've visited with the gathering of VI teachers at Nebraska City, LPS, the Rehab Council, both the Rehab Council for our organization and the General Rehab Council and several others. Basically, my policy this year has been, as if you ask me, I will come. And there seem to be a number of invitations to do that. But again, I really feel the more people we can talk to about what things we're doing and why, the better off we all are. The special programs that Carlos mentioned briefly, I wanted to just give you an overview on. The first program that I'll mention, because it's kind of uppermost in my mind right now, is the wages program. And the wages program is the summer employment opportunity that is held in Lincoln. This year it is 6.5 weeks long, and WAGES is an acronym for Work and Gain Experience in the Summer. The kids are housed at Selleck University, at the UNL campus in Selleck Hall, and they will be working at a variety of sites. I am particularly excited because Lincoln-Lancaster County has been really helpful. We have 4 positions throughout the city with that organization, and that's a little bit different than it's been in the past. We have 1 young person who will be working at the food bank. Oh, I should tell you, all of the employment settings have to be in nonprofit organizations or government. That's just part of the regulations for it. I spent yesterday morning at the zoo talking to the director of the zoo in Lincoln, and we have a position that will be there, and so we're really, really excited about that. That's not been an organization that's been terribly open to us in the past. And the first thing he suggested was our student working in the Butterfly Pavilion, so he's looking seriously at some high focus and high profile positions, and I was really excited about that. That program begins on the 18th of June, and the last day of work is the 31st of July. The kids will return home on August 1st. We will be having an honorary banquet sort of thing on the evening of the 31st, and the employers, the students, and their parents are invited. And we do intend to really point out, you know, the successes that will occur over the summer. I'm absolutely convinced we have a group of kids who really, really will benefit tremendously from this. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, I vacillate, I have to tell you. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm really worried about that, because this is my first year. So this is a day when I'm really looking forward to it. So don't talk to me on the 19th of June. Okay, the next one that I wanted to mention is PI, or Project Independence, and that is a 5-day camp setting at Camp Calvin Crest near Fremont. That's for children who are 6 to 14 years of age. And it's an opportunity for the kids to work on their skills, to think about how it is to do things as a blind person, what blind people can be expected to be able to do in the work world, all of those kinds of things. There are a variety of activities. That is being headed up, thankfully, by the Omaha District this year. And they have some great plans and programs in place, and we'll be supporting those efforts, but primarily the Omaha District is managing that one, as they have done in the past several years. I should tell you that for WAGES we have 12 individuals registered to come to Lincoln. One young man is facing a quandary. If he comes to the WAGES program, he has to leave a position that he was hired for in Omaha, and I told him that was really a pretty good problem to have, and if he needed to stay and do his job in Omaha, we would certainly understand, because that's the whole point. You do, employment is the primary thing there. So that's a nice problem to have, you know, two jobs instead of no job is not a bad thing. Okay, PI, Nancy said that there were 4 young people who have indicated interest so far, but she also said that traditionally May has been the month where the school districts start pushing that application, and so she does expect 7 to 8 probably right in there. The next program is College Prep, and Denise is coordinating this one this year. This is a new program, and it grew out of the fact that we have had some experiences as a commission and with our students who are attending college with some of the students with disabilities offices. And rather than include a portion of time with the Round to It program that I'll talk about in a minute to cover the basic skills that you need in college, we decided to set aside a specific workshop for that. When I ask for names for the mailing list, we have 40 right now. And so that looks to be a lot bigger workshop than we had thought. When Denise and I talked about it, we thought 10 to 15. So
I always said 30.
40 is more than that.
Yeah.
So
anyway, surpassed mine.
Yeah, really. And that's short of 2 people's contributions yet. So anyway, that should be a really big deal. Peggy Elliott will be our guest speaker. Peggy wrote an article about a year ago, year and a half ago, that dealt at great length in dealing with students with disabilities office, what it is reasonable to expect and what is different between high school and college and those sorts of things. And she will be our guest speaker and will be sharing her thoughts on those topics. So we're really looking forward to her. Peggy is a very dynamic speaker, and I think she'll have some things that will be really pertinent for the young people to listen to.
When is that workshop?
It is August 9th and 10th in Kearney here. We decided to kind of put it toward the middle of the state so it would work for everybody. And the way we've planned it this time also is it starts on noon on Thursday the 9th and concludes on the 10th at noon. So we have, for pretty much everybody, at least a reasonable portion of their travel time included in those 2 days also. And we'll be looking at some evening activities too, so people have an opportunity to informally discuss what some of their experiences have been. I've really strongly encouraged some folks who have had to deal with some real issues at college to be available to talk to some younger folks and to well, as much as anything, demonstrate that you can get through those things and find solutions and work things out. So one young man that I particularly encouraged sent me an email the other day, and he said, "I don't know about my sharing information, and just what is it you think I will learn?" So so I wrote him back, and I said, "There might be a few things that you will learn, but I know for a fact you can share things." So so hopefully we'll have a number of people with 1 to 2 years under their belt so that they can share with younger folks to have an idea. Freshman year in college for everybody is far, far different than you could ever anticipate. And for a person dealing with students with disabilities, offices and accommodations and that sort of thing, it can get pretty interesting. And we would like it to be interesting, but not unnecessarily traumatic. So that's what we're going to be doing there. The Winterfest program is a program that we hold twice a year, and we are going to 3 days instead of the 2 days that we have done in the past. Our kids have been asking for 3 days for years. In fact, Amy and Shane Burrish both said, "Well, finally, you're going to do 3 days. We've asked for that for 100 years," which is true because they were both kids and went through the program, and they wanted it 3 days too. But we've finally given in. They've worn us down. And we have the opportunity to really do some in-depth things with the young folks. At each of the Winterfest programs, we determine a theme, and generally either I do or Denise and I do, and now that we have the other two, we can include some other folks also. But we determine a theme and we build activities around that, and we do try very hard to make sure that it's fun, to make sure that the kids have time just to spend with each other, talking together, having some social time. But we also tie everything into the eventual employability. To give you an example, a year ago in March we did the workshop on social skills and etiquette, and we had a formal dinner. We had several of the kids who were going to be going to prom, and one young man in particular was really quite worried about how you handle those kinds of situations. We had a couple of other kids who afterwards said, "It doesn't ever take me 3 hours to eat dinner." You know? So, but all of us learned some things. The counselors did, the kids did. It was a good time, but it was important information. This last, the last one was dealing with community involvement, community activity. And Denise arranged for the cloggers from Aurora to come. We generally hold these Winterfest activities at the Aurora Leadership Center. There are a lot of really good reasons. One of them is it's just a little tiny bit closer for the people out west, and that works very nicely. But it's also just a good facility. They have rooms to meet in. They have a swimming pool. They have a weight room. They have all kinds of different things that the kids can make use of on the side. But the one this spring, we talked an awful lot about being involved in the community, being an active part of the community, and the individuals who came and presented also told about what they do and the people that they have met and the vocations of the different individuals on the community activities. We had a speaker from the community band also in Aurora. So it was good for the kids to think about that. It really was, you know, that life exists in a much larger area than one's own room. So that was really neat. The Round to It program is the one that is coming up in June, and it is the 5th and 6th of June, so we're about 3 weeks away. The Round to It program was in the past a 3-day program. This year it is a 2-day program because we've chosen to separate the college prep portion. And the Round to It program is an employment preparation program for people who are in the active job market or in the job seeking mode. We provide an opportunity through guest speakers and through breakout groups and small group discussions and those kinds of things to work on those skills. And Jim Omvig from Tucson, Arizona is going to be the keynote speaker, and Jim has also agreed to participate in the breakout sessions. And the breakout sessions are an opportunity for 3 or 4 people to get together and talk about some things that are really pretty important. One of them is the interviewing skills, and that one generally goes 2 hours because by the time you prepare for an interview and critique the interview, it takes quite a while. Another one is the disclosure statement in talking about one's blindness and how one does things as a blind person to an employer. Because you know that if an employer does not get any of those questions answered, whether they feel they can ask them or not, the job is not going to be that individual's. And so that's what the purpose of that breakout group is to formulate how you would approach that situation. We'll also be doing one on, it's the Strive video is what it's called, but it's a video that it was shot in New York, and it has different skills related to employment. It's a real hard-hitting video, and in the past we've shown it at the very end of the meeting, and then people have just gone away, and we have found that gone to their dinner or whatever, and we found that it really would be helpful to have an opportunity to visit about that and to talk about what presentations or what comments were made and how you feel about that. So we're going to be doing that. So, but all together there are 6 breakouts. We'll be beginning on 8:30 on the 5th of June and concluding about 4:50 on the 6th of June. So it'll be a busy day, busy 2 days. The Opportunity Knocks program is the other one that's kind of a float all over the state sort of thing. It's not an organized activity, but what it represents is a fund of money as part of the transition grant that we have originally was focused on specifically the orientation center and people in the last 3 months or so of their training. It was money to provide for work opportunities for them. In talking with things and how things were going this first year of the grant, Carlos and Bill and I had decided that I had agreed that it might be a good idea to enlarge the scope of the Opportunity Knocks program to include opportunities for people all across the state. So a work opportunity that an employer would be willing to consider but needed some funding to help with the wages and that sort of thing, or employment activities are things that we have broadened the Opportunity Knocks program to include. For example, one of the things that we've just recently authorized for is transportation to of an individual from Hastings to, I believe it was Kearney, for an interview. It was not something that she could arrange another way, and so it provided us the opportunity to do that. There's $37,080 budgeted for the Opportunity Knocks portion of the transition grant, and we have every intention of using every dime. And so we will continue to be pretty aggressive at identifying uses for that money. The other really critical part of the technology grant, something that we're looking at using very seriously, is the technology portion. Originally in the grant, there was $49,000 in something something. set aside. I didn't write the exact figure down. We have spent just over $24,000 of that so far. As part of the wages program, what was written into the grant was that if we could get any funding from another source to cover the salaries of the kids in the wages program, the savings from that program would be included in the technology portion of things. Well, we were able to do that through the Youth Council and the Workforce Investment Act. Lincoln Action Program is contracting with us, and they are picking up the salaries for the kids from July 1 to July 31st through August 1st. So that's quite a savings, and that will be added to the technology monies. So my guesstimate is that we have about $35,000 left for technology. We are targeting first the college-bound and college preparation students, but we've been looking at pretty much anything that anybody needs to have and deciding whether it's something that fits into that grant or not. We truly want to provide whatever we can for folks to help them to be successful. With limited funds, as you know, $35,000, even $49,000 and $50,000 doesn't necessarily go a real long way. So we're trying to be as careful as we can about it, but we also don't want any left at the end of the year. So basically, we've been busy. Denise has been tearing all over the western part of the state from Grand Island West, and I've been doing my share of running around also, but I do think that we are off to a really good start. We've had excellent response from the schools that we have talked to. Most of the schools just want to know that we can be counted on to be a partner in what needs to happen with the kids, and that's our intention, and that's what we're working toward. So that's what we've been doing for the last 8 months.
So. I have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, and it kind of goes to several different things, but you know, one of the financial participation, you know, issue is kind of coming up. What about on the, you know, on the money for transition? I suppose it could be even in through the commission's other places. When people are, you know, when an item is bought for them, a computer or whatever, is there any way, I mean, is it becoming feasible to do something like an interest-free loan that they have to pay it back? Or part of it back, so it becomes a reoccurring money that, you know, it's if a person goes out and gets a job with this and makes money, which is the goal, it's not unreasonable for a person to, you know, have to pay. I mean, they got to pay student loans back. They have to, that if some of this technology is provided, be given to them, and you know, the terms, or maybe it's got to be some nominal interest, but the basic point is that the money is, you know, revolving, and so it's available over and over for future people to use. It would really extend the scope of the dollars, and maybe, you know, like in this, the way that this transition grant is arranged, maybe that's not feasible, but or is it, or can this approach be used in other areas?
First blush, I would say it's probably not the most feasible situation under the transition grant, simply because most of the people receiving the technology are at the beginning end of things like education. The focus of the transition grant is 16 to 26 years of age. We do encourage participation of individuals absolutely wherever possible. Our position has been what we can do to assist you to be successful is what we will do. But I have to say that a good portion of the young people that we have worked with already have the computer, perhaps, but it is the software, the scanner software, that kind of thing that we're looking at more.
Isn't some of this transition, I mean, isn't some of the money to be spent after they graduate from school and, you know, maybe need some equipment to get a job?
That's possible. That is possible, yeah. Given to the situation. The one thing I would say is we've been, as a commission, pretty aggressive about going after the Social Security reimbursement funds, and so it is money that eventually will be turned back, so to speak, for the commission to use again.
How that works is that when we close a case successful and that person is making more than the SGA level, which is now $1,270 per month, we get reimbursed for all the expenses since the beginning of the rehab process, as far as they were in Social Security benefits.
We do also encourage participation when an individual has scholarships and that kind of thing. They can't be counted as comparable benefits because of the ruling of things, but we certainly do encourage people to use them for their direct educational support. But I don't know as far as loaning the money out if that's something that we could do.
There were some talks, we never talk about the policy, but one of the things that Bill Brown talked to us about is that we don't want to get into that because we spend more time and energy trying to collect the money and having problems with clients. So that's the extent of the discussion so far.
And we have done that, and I can speak from experience that it does get to be a problem with collection.
There also have been times where we'll do a joint effort. It's kind of what Karen was talking about, encouraging participation. But for I remember one very clear example where the individual needed a CCTV, and we were willing to provide that. And what she really wanted was a color CCTV. So we paid the portion that a black and white would cost, and then she paid the additional to get the model that she wanted. And she was happy, and it wasn't a paying us back. It was just when it was purchased, you know, she paid her part and we paid ours, and that worked pretty well.
Well, I think someone would always rather have it provided to them, but maybe even a separate block of money to do it. Just, you know, I just like the NFB years ago. I don't even know if they still do, but I remember one time they had, and I think it was lack of funds, but they had a deal where you could, you know, borrow money to get a, you know, technology, and it was, and it was just made, you know, and they had a payment schedule, and it just basically made it feasible. I mean, you could literally, you know, $20 a month, $30 a month. I mean, they just, they made it real reasonable, and that, because essentially, and maybe this is something that the Friends of the Commission might want to look at.
That's
too.
That's a good idea, because then it wouldn't be going through the state budget. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I do think programs like that are really good for a lot of reasons, and but that might be something that Friends could do.
Mm-hmm. You just get so much more bang out of the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have had several clients, to be honest with you, who have purchased their own. Two young men that I can think of right off the bat, both of them said, no, this is something I want to do. The support software is something that is specific to their higher education. They both happen to be computer programmers in school for that. So there are some specific softwares, but both of them wanted to purchase their own computers and did so. And the reason they did so was because they wanted what they wanted.
I would say most consumers somehow buy part of the equipment, or the computer, or the adaptive equipment, usually the computer, or sometimes they buy a computer, they buy a few things here and there, and we purchase the braille printer. So we just help with some, and that's most of the cases.
Well, because going back to that, when we have $49,000 at the beginning of a year to work with it, you can't buy everything for everybody. It just isn't going to happen that way anyway. Mm-hmm. We just flat don't have it.
And that's why if it was a revolving pool of money, I mean, over time, if you were starting to get some of it paid back, it would just make available. And, you know, we want it to be feasible. We're not interested in making a lot of money out of it, but if we could have it be a revolving fund, then it just helps, you know, the next generation of people and more people.
I would like to make a comment about that idea. I can see where the NFB can do that, and I've taken advantage of that. I bought my computer with a loan from them, and I'd like, you know, participation whenever possible. But my thought is all the state and federal money comes out of my pocket. I pay in these taxes. Why should I be paying it again? When these services are there for blind people, it should be provided for them, regardless of whether they can afford it or not. It should be provided. That's what our tax dollars are for.
But since the money is ultimately limited, though, I mean, if it was open pocketbook, everybody get whatever they need. Well, but that's not the system we have, and we have limited resources. And what's the best way to stretch those resources? And, you know, because giving people interest-free loans or nominal interest and give them, you know, very favorable.
And it promotes their independence too. You know,
sure.
You have to have some of that too. Because if everything's given to you,
You never developed that independent thought that I did this for myself.
No. See, I disagree with that. My thought is, a lot of technology was provided for me by the Commission for the Blind, or SVI. My investment in that was my time, my hard work to get my education, and that was my part of it. Your monies that come from your tax dollars should be there to provide services. It's kind of like, you know, they repave Interstate 80. Do I borrow that money for that little stretch, you know, past my town?
Well, getting an interest-free loan or a below-market rate interest rate and you know, extended terms, that is a, you know, that is a benefit. It's, you can't...
It's a benefit, but it is a partnership. When I went to college, I guess don't want to be redundant, but my investment was my hard work and my to get my education, and to also, and then to go out and get a job.
And I would say it too. I would say going to school would be a separate issue than after school getting employment. You know, it's an investment towards you getting a job, and that, again, if it was, everybody would. It's just like in college. You'd much rather have a grant than a loan, but it's.
Well, I think if we, I don't. I think that we know that the commission is working with people on cooperative agreements. There is the thought that doing a loan program with the paperwork and those kinds of things at this point doesn't look real feasible. So I think unless you haven't gotten the complete answer to your question, Bob, I think we'll let the other discussion happen.
Well, I guess I would say, would it be something you to do a pilot project? I mean, obviously you don't have to go out and put a big, but it would, and I can't believe that some, you know, like the NFB, whatever their program and model and their results and other, you know, other similar type things.
I think the suggestion to having it go to possibly for something for the Friends group to consider is also a relevant and good idea.
Yeah, I like
that. And unless there's another suggestion to be made, I think we'll, you know, we'll move on from that specific topic.
This is Pearl. Uh-huh. I would like to visit a little further with Bill Brown, our business manager, about the idea and, you know, to see if there's not necessarily, I mean, not the transition grant, but possibly if we should look at this sort of a project. But excuse me, on top of that, I do think the idea to refer it to the Friends is really excellent. And then we can look at it internally and see if there's something I can report back at the next meeting.
Yeah, because then as the Friends brings in money or gets technology contributed,
yes,
then this could be, you know, if people could then buy it on a, you know, on reduced terms or something, then the Friends of Commission, the money becomes revolving too. And
right.
It doesn't have to be...
And I would even say a no interest. Because
sure,
at least having the funds back will buy more later as opposed to buying the one item.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it could even be a no interest loan.
Sure.
But I'll be willing to talk with Bill and take a look at that, and then we can sure make sure it gets on the agenda for for Friends of the Commission meetings.
Okay. And Karen, I had one more. That
sure.
Newsletter that goes out,
uh-huh,
I'd be interested in, can that be emailed?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I was also going to ask for us to be put on the...
Okay. I thought we had mentioned that, and Jan was going to do
okay.
That. That's what I thought, because I don't have a mailing list for the commission.
Okay.
When we talked about that. Could you do that, Jan? Would that be okay? Thanks. I did want to just mention one thing about the technology also, is Carlos and I have visited with Gary, what's his last name?
Harris, from Concept?
No, for Department of Education.
Sherman?
Yes, Gary Sherman and Don Anderson, about the possibility of a policy with the school districts that when a student is coming out of a school district with a particular piece of technology, because some school districts let the young person take it with them, but some school districts do not. And the school districts are reimbursed by Department of Education generally at 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And if the school district is reimbursed at 80% and we could pay that other 20% for an individual to take their Braille light or their Braille and speaker or whatever technology the school district has purchased for them, that is a win-win situation. It truly is.
Because one of the reasons why some public schools don't let the students take the equipment when they graduate is because it's supposed to be public school property, because that 20% has been not reimbursed or will not be reimbursed. But if we do that, the students can take the equipment.
You know, for the big school districts, if they have a student coming out who can make use of that in the next year, it might be reasonable for them to hang on to it. But the average school district has one blind student in, what, 15 years? Well, if you're going to hold a braille and speak until 2022 and think it's going to be useful, that isn't going to happen.
Well, and it also sometimes gets lost or it gets out of date and nobody bothers to update it. And, yeah, there are those kinds of problems. I'm glad you've had that discussion. We started initiating those kinds of discussions several years ago. At the time, we didn't have a source for the 20%, and that ended the discussion quickly.
So, I do look for that to be something that they will do. Don and Gary's reaction was they did need to do that through rules and regulations. And
yes, but they'll look at it a lot more completely, knowing that there is a source for the money, because that was the biggest hang-up we had several years ago when we initiated that. I'm glad it's going to be able to be possibly resolved. The other thing is that a student gets used to the specific machine that they have and the kinds of things that it does and doesn't do and all of that, and then they're either thrown into limbo or into a totally different machine, and then that starts that whole process of being behind all over again. So I'm really glad that's going to happen.
Well, Department of Education has been extremely open, I feel, and very supportive. Jack has been great, absolutely great. Jack and Sally Gittinger from the Nebraska City School have offered to provide transition counselor training now that we have all three people. We will not be doing that until James is through orientation center training. But there are some nuances that we need to know about. In school districts, there are different people to talk to, and Jack and Sally very quickly offered, you know, their expertise and their experience to identify who those people are and target the people who are they're most pertinent to talk to. And so they've been great, just great.
One of the things that I want to mention before we finish the transition presentation is that those who come to the transition program have a great deal of longevity. If you mention, if you realize, Carrie mentioned that Shane and Amy for 100 years were talking about having three-day program. I didn't know they were over 100 years old.
I was exaggerating. Just a quote.
I would like to also see if you have comments about the possible cooperative agreements with school districts. We had talked with education folks about possibilities for third-party cooperative arrangements, and then when Denise was actually on a vacation out in Oregon, she went to the commission and found out some third-party cooperative agreements that they have in Oregon with local school districts, and she brought back some documents for us, which I've given to Bob and Carlos and Karen for their consideration. I wondered if you'd had time to look at that yet or had any thoughts?
I really haven't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sally and I have talked about the possibility of cooperative agreements, and she has offered the use of the facilities, that kind of thing. No real money, but in-kind sorts of things at this point in time.
Well, and as we know with the UNMC Low Vision Clinic third-party agreement, it took quite a while to figure out how to make that work in a way that really was appropriate under the law, served our people, you know, etc. So it's not an easy thing to say, oh, let's just agree. There are a lot of details, but I appreciate you looking at that, and I really appreciate Denise bringing that to us.
The way Oregon does theirs, and I don't have the figures right probably, but it'll give you an idea, is the school district gives them $50,000, which they use as a match, and they give the school district back $75,000, and they still have money left over because of the match amount that they're able to use. And what the school district agrees to do is to hire a transition person within the school. And this is particularly in the Portland area where they have a really high concentration of blind students. But they hire a transition person to work with blind students in the schools, and they also have a portion of that that goes for technology. So students are purchased equipment for them, which is theirs, because it comes from that particular fund. So the using it as a match and being able to give back, it really is a win-win situation if you can figure it out.
Right. There is a part in the federal regulations about matching that prohibits reversion to donor.
Yeah, so that's an interesting.
I don't know quite how they work there, but that is prohibited by law. But obviously, they, you know, probably the way you described it isn't just